Welcome to the Kids with Big Emotions podcast. I am your host, Andy Clark. This is episode 114, when kids overachieve or underachieve. What the parents are missing. Have you ever wondered sometimes why your child seems like laser focused on achievement, or they could be on the flip side where they seem completely disengaged, where you're like, what is my child into? What do they even like to do? Do they have any interests? Today, I am going to be sharing a conversation with a mom who I've had where their son is racing towards high school graduation way ahead of time. They want to have an associate's degree at the same time as they graduate from high school. No breaks, no slowing down. When we were talking about this, they were talking about this summer on how their son just wants to get all of these courses in and doesn't want to necessarily stop and do the fun things because he has this goal. So this brought up this thing with us of what brings up, like, what's behind this kind of drive in a child? And then also, what about the kids who seem to have no drive? Where's that middle ground? What brings a kid to one extreme or the other? We will be exploring both ends of that spectrum and what might be going on underneath, whether your child is overachieving or undermotivated. This episode will help you peel back those layers, because sometimes drive or a lack of drive, it isn't about laziness or perfectionism. It can often be other parts of the brain, that manager part of the brain that is helping them manage their moods, manage their emotions, manage the things that they want to do, their goals, all of these things. That's their executive functioning system. And it can really affect so many things in their life. So hopefully you will leave with insights, compassion, and tools to better understand your child, whether they are on the motivation map or the unmotivation map. So as I was saying, I was speaking with this mom and this boy, like the load that this boy wanted for this summer, the mom was worried about. And she was like, there's no, like, I can't talk him out of it. This is what he is doing. There's no pause. And this is what I asked her. I'm like, is there a pause? Have we stopped and like celebrated how far he's already come? And she's like, nope, his mind is on this goal. He wants to graduate high school with an associate's degree. So the thing is that we take this bigger view of situations like this. Some kids, they charge ahead. Other kids completely stall out. And when our kids are doing one or the other, we often focus on what they're doing with this mom as well. Amazing mom. She's focusing on, okay, he really wants to get this done. He wants to get this college thing. I'm not sure necessarily about him doing all these courses this summer, but he wants to. So I'm going to start researching and finding these courses for his associate's degree this summer. The thing is that we often don't stop and ask ourselves why. Why does he want to get an associate's degree with his high school diploma? Why do kids not want to try anything new or get into anything new? And when we start asking them the why, it can really start revealing a lot, especially when we pause to consider what role that executive functioning system that I speak so much about on this podcast, about how much that plays both in motivation and the things you do in your daily life. So with driven kids, I'm going to break this up a little bit between the driven kids, and then I will go into the kids that don't seem to have that drive. So with a driven kid, we often assume that they're totally fine because school isn't a problem. They're adding extra courses. They want to do all these extra things. The thing is that executive functioning challenges, they can hide behind academic successes. They might show up instead in social struggles. We think of young Sheldon. Young Sheldon, Big Bang Theory, he, like the social issues that he did have, like not really understanding the social cues of others and stuff, he was to an extreme. And you may not have a child like that, but you may have a child that may be a little bit more naive to what's going on around them or not always understanding the things that are happening around them. And it might affect certain social dynamics with friends and relationships. They may have difficulty switching between preferred and non-preferred tasks. They may go full force into preferred. Okay, I want this associate's degree. I want to study all about, let's say, history. So I want history. I'm going to go deep dive into history, but and I will focus on anything that is going to get me that associate's degree in what I'm going into, business, any of those things. outside of that, I have no interest in anything else. So it's only their preferred. They don't want to focus on anything else. They may also struggle with sleep challenges or inconsistent morning and night routines. They may not be a great sleeper. They may struggle to pack their bag to get to school. They may struggle to actually organize all their courses and need help from their parents in order to do that. Even though they can do all these courses, they may struggle with some of the assignments or the way that their assignments are being asked of them. Then they may also have poor inhibition. So inhibition is the ability to stop and pause and think about what you're doing. So they may just start to jump into things without warning. They may like have these blurred boundaries on where they should go or where things should stop or how far they need to go in things. And so then we have that flip side with kids who seem to lack drive, or they may be overwhelmed with executive functioning struggles. They may struggle with, I talked about this in the last episode 110 on procrastination. So episode 110 dives deep into procrastination. And that is a big part of the motivation in certain kids. So that's where initiating, struggling to start something. Maybe it feels overwhelming or the steps are too big. Planning becomes a big struggle for some of these kids. Self-monitoring and noticing, you know, when they're not doing anything, self-correcting, being able to help and fix things. They may have cognitive flexibility in that they think that anything that they fail at is bad, anything. So they don't even want to try anything new because they're afraid they're going to fail at it, even if they have an interest in it. So these all fall into that executive functioning. There's way more as well that go into that executive functioning that can affect a child who is not motivated. And it just all becomes like too much and they retreat. They retreat into that turtle that we have spoke of, or they could become the clownfish where the anxiety starts taking over and they just can't start new things. And so with this mom, I was talking to her about The Gap in the Game. The Gap in the Game is one of my all-time favorite books. It's a business book. Thing is that I use this in life with everything in life. I use it with my kids, all of these things. The Gap in the Game is by Benjamin Hardy and Dan Sullivan. So The Gap in the Game is where in business, because Dan Sullivan works with very, very high level CEOs, executives, business owners. And with them in such a high level, they often are so focused on a goal. I want to get this business to 1 million, 10 million, then I want to sell it, make it go public, sell it, and then I will start another business. The thing is everything, all of those steps that it took them to get to that end, to get them to where that business is successful and they've got there, they've gone through so many steps. And if they don't stop and acknowledge those steps, quite often when they get to the goal, they're not as fulfilled. And we do this in so many things in life, so many things, right? Even having kids, we often don't stop and really acknowledge how far our kids have come. Quite often we're sitting there in the moment of where our kids are struggling or frustrating us one way or the other. And so The Gap in the Game is where we stop and we start noticing the steps that we've taken. We're not just focusing on what's next or where we fell short. We're focusing on all of the steps that it took to get there. And so when we're shifting to the game, it really helps you feel more anchored in the process and it helps more with your identity. So if as well, you're taking all of these steps and you have to move your goal 6 months or a year. I've even been saying this about my one son too. And I'm like, okay, we've stopped doing the academics this year because I'm really focusing on his executive functioning skills. And I know that once we get these executive functioning skills, he is going to be able to manage all of his schoolwork easily. And if that means that he then takes a year longer for high school, I'm like, so what? The fact is he will be more successful in high school by taking that year to stop and work on these other skills that are going to get there instead of just saying, no, I need him to graduate high school and this is the year he's supposed to graduate and this is how it has to happen. So when we really stop and we focus on the goal, so this is where you can start asking these questions. Why this goal? And this is where I was talking with this mom about this kid. So I'm curious, why does he have this goal? Why does this child have this goal to finish his associate's degree by the time that he also graduates high school? Why is that goal? It's a very curious question. And it would be so fascinating to hear their answer because quite often too, their answer is going to be very different than what you assume that it's going to be, unless they tell you about it all the time. And then you ask them, what happens if you achieve it to like earlier or later? So you can ask them, okay, so what if you get your associate's degree 6 months before you finish high school? And then what happens if you get it 6 months or a year after you've graduated high school? What would happen? What would the difference be? What would change in your life? And you start getting them to start thinking about the timelines a little bit different when they have such a goal that is stressing them out. So with my son as well, I stopped even focusing on the grade he's in. And I'm like, what skills does he need? Let's focus on those. And then I will worry about the grades that, which is one of the pros of homeschooling in where I live. I know every state has different rules and regs. In some states, you have to stay at grade level for each kid, which doesn't make sense to me because you're usually pulling them out for a reason and they're struggling. They either are two ahead or two behind, which, I mean, my one son is already ahead in his math and some of his, in his sciences and stuff. So what's the big deal of me pausing everything and really focusing on executive functioning versus the courses? Anyways, sorry, that was my little side rant. But yeah, what happens if you achieve it earlier or later? And you start asking these kids these questions on anything, right? Something that they're building, even just their Lego or something, a structure. And you can be like, okay, what would be the difference if you finish this tomorrow instead of today? And they might explode and be like, well, then I wouldn't have achieved my goal, or it won't be done and I need it done. That's telling you the inflexible thinking in their brain that they can't even pause it and move it to the next, which is also initiation, inhibition, being able to pause and stop and change the goal or focus on what needs to be focused on. And that's where we then start breaking it down into even more questions. If they get very upset over, if you can't, you can be like, okay, so why does it need to be done today? What are you going to do with it? Is it going to go on a shelf? Is it like, what will you do with this once it's finished? And you get them thinking, and they might eventually get to the point where you can say, well, it's okay if it goes on the shelf tomorrow versus today. We can just leave this out here for today. And depending on where the child is with their struggles in their perfectionism and that cognitive flexibility of that part of the brain, they might be okay with it. And you might be able to walk them through the first time. Not all kids you'll be able to. It will take steps to get them to start even thinking about it and getting them to consider it. And they still may need to finish it today, but they start thinking about it. But as we start getting these longer term goals, so even things of, as I'm sitting here, things like where they want ice cream right now. And you can start working on delayed gratification on that so that they really enjoy it. But they're also thinking of the steps that it takes to get there, when they should have it, how it's planned, so that they can work on that initiation, work on flexible thinking of when that ice cream will be okay, being able to change the perception of when they need it. All of these things, all of these pieces of the executive functioning system. So then you can ask the kid, okay, what's next? All right. So you've got this amazing goal of graduating high school with an associate's degree. What is next after that? And talk them through, okay, well, do you have to do that right away? What would happen if you took a year break? What would happen if you did something else in between? Same thing with ice cream, like what's next? So you have the ice cream and then what? And even with the Lego. So it's really about breaking this down. And then you can ask them, did you choose this goal or did it just sound impressive? So when you are talking about the high school and the associate, like why? Why did you choose this goal? Like, why did it come up? I mean, I know we asked why this goal at the start, but if we ask too, did it sound impressive? That is something to get them really thinking of, to really, why did they even choose that goal? Then we get into the high achieving child. How do we help them? We want them to build the awareness around why they push themselves. So if you notice that they're pushing themselves in so many things, you start diving into that. Start getting them to reflect and rest and learn that those are a necessity and not optional. So I know for us, we wear health trackers. So I wear the Whoop. I have the Whoop and the Aura because I work with them with my clients. And what I love about them is it tells you when you're not resting enough. So when I was working with first responders, oh my gosh, love having them, because they would see when they didn't give themselves enough rest and recovery, and they would see how that affected them, because they would have a lot of guilt after a 24-hour shift or after working a huge block of shifts and coming home, and they would feel guilty resting or sleeping. Even after a 24-hour shift, they hadn't slept, but they came home, they felt they still needed to be awake to do the daytime things in the house that day. And it was eye-opening for them being able to actually see the data of how much that actually affected their ability to bounce back from stress, their ability to recover, all of these things. That's just one way to do that sometimes for them to be able to understand rest and recovery, especially if they're like sciencey people. If they're sciencey and they like those, you know, the data, then sometimes the data will help them with that. But there's so many other ways that I help clients within the support circle on how to be able to help get kids to understand that reflecting on what they've done is really important, and also that rest is necessary and it's not optional. Another thing to do with these high achieving kids is to support regulation and balance outside of the academics. So especially when it comes to like social, sensory, sleep struggles, when you have a child that is high achieving, quite often you have those others. And so it's important that outside of the academics, they're doing well, but we make sure that their sensory is getting enough of a healing, repairing time to dysregulate. I don't know what the word is, but yeah, to be able to support it and heal it, your sensories, your social, your sleep, your nervous system. And then also teaching the kids to use that gain to shift their self-worth to progress, not perfection. So they start tracking the steps it takes to get there. So for example, the associate's degree, marking down every single class that needs to happen on some sort of a list, a checklist, that every time that they do that, you check it off and you celebrate it. Amazing, you did this. So that as they're going along, even if you do end up shifting the time frame or anything, you've gone through and you have really seen that all the steps they took and they were acknowledging every single step, that it's easier to actually change timelines sometimes and take some pressure off. You've done all of this. Now you're finding out that this is also happening in high school. Whatever is happening, there's maybe some more social things happening on that is okay for us to shift this goal now. So really teaching about the game. Now, what do we do for a disengaged child? We want to really get curious of what is beneath the surface. And that is, I will say, going to, oh my gosh, so many of my podcast episodes, I'd say the executive functioning series and episode 110 for sure. And then this is what I teach in depth in the support circle, is really supporting that executive functioning system gently. So initiation, planning, inhibition would be, if they're not motivated, would be the ones that I would definitely start with. Only doing one at a time. Oh no, I would not definitely start with all of those. Sorry, because planning is such a high level one. I'd be checking into their perception. I'd be checking into where their attention is, their inhibition, their working memory. All of these things that I do have in the Executive Functioning Series podcast episodes, and that I teach even further in depth in the support circle. With the high achieving kids too, I mean, there's so much executive functioning that as you dive into those episodes as well, if you haven't, and this is the first one you're going through, I highly recommend you go back to the Executive Functioning Series, which is, I'm going to say 85 to 92-ish episodes in there. We'll link them in the show notes. So with that disengaged child, you want to be helping them to build momentum with small, meaningful wins. And I mean small. Some of these could be crazy small that you might have to take one step and break it into 10, and you need to acknowledge every single of those 10 steps. That is hugely important, to make the steps small enough with a disengaged child and celebrate every step. And when I'm saying celebrate, there's some kids that don't like tons of acknowledgement and tons of praise. I've got one of them. That is where you have to find subtle ways to do it. We call it sometimes the drive-by praise, where when I go into his room and say goodnight or whatever, as I'm leaving, I'll shut out the night's lights and I'll be like, oh, excellent job on this today. Have a good night. See you tomorrow. And I'm out. So it wasn't in front of his eyes. It was actually in the dark. I said it quick. I left. So there's no expectation for him to say anything or acknowledge it. He just gets to see it, or just gets to hear it and take it in while he's laying there. And then the last thing is to honor their pace and preferences and celebrate their effort as much as their outcomes. So with a disengaged child too, it's going to be slow. It might be painful for you. Their pace is going to be super slow. And it's really important to let them go at a pace that works for them, that will speed up slowly over time as you're building more and more of these executive functioning skills with them. But you need to really honor their pace and celebrate their effort just as much, if not more, than the outcomes, because the outcomes are going to be slow and small and not crazy visible at the start, but their effort is what you are going to see. So as a parent, you can start asking yourself some questions too. Where is your child thriving on the surface but struggling underneath? So we do have a child, they're finishing high school, doing their undergraduate degree. And as this mom said, where they're actually struggling is learning how to take time for themselves, learning how to relax, learning how to recover, learning to maybe be cautious as to how much you put on your plate. So it's really starting to see, where are they struggling underneath? Are they in the gap or are they in the gain? And as soon as you see that they're in the gap and they're not focusing on the gains that they get with every single step, that's where we need to stop and work with that child. And then also asking yourself as a parent, how can we model a balanced relationship with goals? And I know I do this with my kids all the time. I'll talk about my podcast episodes or things that I'm doing in the office, and we'll talk about it. And I'm like, okay, but I also need time to exercise and do my breathing and to make sure that we've got healthy food in the house. So how do I make all of that happen? Or sometimes too, like I've started recently just taking a little bit of time each week that I go and do something for myself. Guilt-free, without them, it's all good. I get my time to myself. So I'm modeling these things that's okay for them to do. So that was a lot. I wanted to leave you with some things for understanding with that highly motivated child and then the child that is unmotivated. Their drive and disinterest can both hide deeper struggles. So when a child is highly driven or a child is disinterested in really finding out what makes them tick, these can definitely be hiding deeper struggles that this child has. Executive functioning doesn't always show up in schoolwork. It can often, it very much so, shows up in other things. Helping around the house, the way that they react with friends, the way that they communicate with other people, the way that they get to sleep, the things like packing their bag or getting themselves organized or being able to plan things and make decisions. All of these things can happen outside of schoolwork and not necessarily just in the schoolwork. So they may be highly motivated in the schoolwork, and that's where we can see where these other struggles might be kicking in. Understanding your child's motivation gives you the key to connection and support. So if you do understand why are they motivated, what is their goal, what helps them, how can we help them be successful and really acknowledge all of the steps to get to that goal, then that gives you more connection as a parent and helps you know where to be supporting that child. So these kids with highly driven and unmotivated, they're all doing their best. They're doing their best. They're doing what their brain needs them to do in order to stimulate them at the same time as maybe mask and hide from other things that are harder for them. So it's really important for us to really take that step back and see this as more than just really high achieving or underachieving in these kids. I hope that you really did enjoy this episode. I never know what people are thinking. So if you can like this, give a comment on this podcast episode, that would be amazing. And if you would like to keep learning how to meet your child where they're at and support them in a way that feels aligned with who they are, check out the support circle. That is my monthly group. I also do work with people one-on-one. The links for everything are down in the show notes. It's really where we dig in that support circle into these executive functioning, the emotional regulation, the stress system, and the real life stuff that really does help families thrive. So the link is in the show notes for you. Go down there and click it, and I will see you in the next episode.